You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vote for your favorite Cleveland Browns players to the 2015 Pro Bowl in Arizona by visiting clevelandbrowns.com. Vote now, vote often. We bark together. I think there could be a lot of potential Pro Bowlers on this defensive side of the ball. Tashawn Gibson still leading the league in interceptions. Joe Hayden obviously could get a look. Carlos Dansby for his play could get a look. Paul Kruger could get a look on the defensive side of the ball. Dante Whitner as well. I think a lot of opportunities to get some Browns players into the Pro Bowl. I think Marlon Moore's got to be in consideration as a special teams performer as well.
He does. And I think what Marlon Moore needs to continue to do, just because we finish with obviously Cincinnati and the Baltimore Ravens as well, is you got to play your best games in the conference that you represent, you know, so that you leave that impression. And I think, again, that impression was felt this weekend by the Indianapolis Colts. It's been kind of spot, not just in reference to Marlon Moore, but from a special team standpoint, is you need to set yourself apart. You need to be a marked man. When you walk into meetings on Wednesday morning, you got to say, we got to block 15 for the Browns, because he makes every play. He's their best gunner. He does this. He does that. And that recognition alone, when a coach singles out a certain guy, especially on a special teams, which is, again, in most cases, the bottom third of the roster. But when you single out one guy, and I got to play with a great one, Kasim Osgood. You know, he'd made multiple Pro Bowls.
He's still in the league.
Still in the league, San Francisco doing his thing. But, you know, he only made money as a wide receiver, I'd say 2 years out of the 11 that he's played. Otherwise, it's been as a special teams guy, and he's probably been to the Pro Bowl a half dozen times.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. You can have Steve Tasker, a great Pro Bowl player and a special teams guy up in Buffalo during their heyday. Aditi Kinkobala saying that the Browns may also have a new place kicker on Sunday. Two are trying out at the facility right now.
So should we go run to the window?
Go check them out, see how they're doing, see how they're kicking out there. So potentially a new kicker as well for the Browns. We know they will have a new quarterback on Sunday with Johnny Manziel becoming the starter. Now, it hasn't been confirmed by the team. We're still looking for that and hope to bring that to you before 3. We'll try to. But in the meantime, we're going to get your reaction. Damian in Columbus, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
What I want to say is, you know, the Johnny fans wanted Johnny to play, and now we got him. We have to commit to him. And I just think, like, now, you know, I'm kind of mortified. I'm good with the decision, but mortified at the same time, because what if Johnny turns out being a bust? And we're right back at square one, getting another quarterback. And that just a step back for this team. But then, too, I like Johnny, but what I'm going to have to see from him, he's going to have to stand in the pocket and make throws. Because all the running around and stuff he does, that's cool when stuff breaks down. But when the defense keeps him contained, he's going to have to stand in the pocket and make accurate throws. Do I think he can do it? Yes, I do. But he's unproven. He has 3 games to show us that he's what we all hope he is, at our franchise quarterback. And then if we don't make the playoffs, I look at it as a fail. We failed. You know, and do we still have a chance of making the playoffs? Because I want to make the playoffs. We don't make the playoffs, I look at it as a fail.
I want to make the playoffs as well. It's going to be tough now, given where the Browns have the situation that they put themselves in. But yes, we will get an opportunity to see Johnny Manziel. I think it's a good. I think that's good. I think it's a good thing for the Cleveland Browns. I think I'm excited to see how this turns out. I think we've seen Brian Hoyer, and now it's an opportunity to see Johnny Manziel and figure out, you know, where he is and what's going to happen with that going forward.
You're absolutely right, and I think there's a certain level of trust that you have to have. In this new regime here in Cleveland that starts at the top in Ray Farmer and his staff evaluating Johnny Manziel and acquiring him as high as we did in the first round. And then also, too, at this point, you have to trust this coaching staff that Kyle Shanahan and Mike Pettine and that group that kind of puts their heads together to make a decision each and every week from a position-to-position standpoint or positions that need to be addressed, them making this decision, you have to trust them as well. And just as we say, Brian Hoyer's got you to 7-5, or in this case, 7-6, so has Mike Pettine and his staff, and we have to trust in their decision.
I think that's exactly right. Let's go to Dwight in Galleon. Dwight, welcome to the show.
Man, thanks for the call.
You got it.
Thank you.
Hey, I think we're going to be in for a heck of a game Sunday, and I do feel bad for Hoyer. I've been a fan of his, but Manziel, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I'm not a big believer in Manziel, but we have a common factor with, at Texas A&M, I always thought it was Mike Evans, you know, that made Manziel. Now we have Gordon with his legs. If the receivers break off, routes take off. So, and then also, You know, I think we got to pass first and then run. And I think he'll open up the path, the running lanes a little bit better, you know, and hopefully he can handle, you know, if they, he makes the bad pass or the interception and all that, you know, the Bengals are going to be razzing him.
They will.
Know, and you don't flip them off.
That's right. That's right. Matt, tell us from a defensive standpoint how Johnny Manziel is going to help the ground game of the Cleveland Browns.
Well, first and foremost, it's just the his ability to stretch the field laterally, and you know, and that's with his legs. So, and then also too, I really do feel that with Johnny Manziel as a quarterback, because I think it's an upgrade in athleticism, and I think Kyle Shanahan will open up that ability. And I talked about it a few weeks ago; it might even have been last week as we talked about the potential of Johnny Manziel. But Johnny Manziel is going to do things different than Brian Hoyer. It's going to look, it's going to be the same offense, but look differently. It's going to, he's going to get to the edge faster. He's going to bootleg faster. He's got a stronger arm, so the ball will get there faster, which might potentially mean yards after the catch. You know, giving it to Hawkins, you know, on the numbers in space, as opposed to forcing him to dive out or a ball on the ground only where he can catch it and limiting his yards after the catch, which is what we've seen him be so great at. But his ability and the threat that every time that he could keep the ball, you know, you've got to have a spy on him. You saw Croy Bierman last night spying Aaron Rodgers all night. You lose a defender, which means you take a guy who could potentially have their hand on the ground and be dedicated towards stopping the run on a certain down and distance, but he just creates that little bit of doubt in their mind because of the athleticism, and in this case, the dynamic playmaking ability of Johnny Manziel with his legs. You put that doubt in their mind. They can't commit to stopping the run, and what we have seen is that the football teams that commit to stop the run against the Cleveland Browns, we struggle with. So if we can create that doubt in the defender's mind, or and also, too, this trickles all the way back up to the defensive coordinator.
Yes, it does.
Because Johnny Manziel is an X factor, there's a certain level of uncomfortability that that defensive coordinator has because of what John Manziel can do with his legs. And so you have to take that into account every single time you make a play call. That little bit of doubt that looms in the athleticism of one player versus what you've seen in this offensive scheme with another guy less athletic.
I think that's very true, and I think that's what the Browns are counting on to kind of be a little bit of a difference maker in this offense. Let's go to Bob in New York City now. Bob, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Gentlemen, good to talk to you. It's been a while.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm good. I'm kind of on the same page as everybody probably at this point. I think there's going to be a lot of excitement, that's for sure, especially from young kids. I think that's one thing that I've felt throughout this whole Manziel thing is, and while they, you know, the younger people may not know football that well, they love Johnny Manziel.
That's right.
I think it beat down Brian emotionally, mentally a little bit, and it has affected him. I still think he's a much better quarterback than we've seen. But my major point is, and I love your comments on this, especially Matt. I think Johnny would succeed best if he could sort of scramble almost in a designed way. To extend plays and let receivers break off their routes. You know, I've noticed with Aaron Rodgers, this happens constantly. And he finds himself, he gets himself in open space, and he'll see Jordy Nelson sort of break off a route. And that freelance approach, I think, is probably more suited for Johnny than fitting him into a very tight sort of Shanahan precision right route system.
I think you're right about that, and I think what you'll see are a lot of plays designed to get Johnny on the edge, get him outside of the pocket, and be able to reassess, because what he has the speed to do is clear the pocket, then reset up like an Aaron Rodgers, study the field, and then push the ball down the field.
You're correct, and I think also, too, is and I know Aaron Rodgers and his performance is probably so fresh in our head because of what he did last night.
So good.
And you talk about his number one target in Jordy Nelson. That happened over the course of 7 years now. And you can't expect it to be just like that, you know, overnight in Johnny Manziel's first start. But the one other thing that I'd like to point out from a defensive standpoint and also, too, from an offensive line standpoint is the Johnny Manziel is going to be protected differently and blocked for differently than they did for Brian Hoyer because of how dynamic he is with his legs. And also, too, in some cases, in certain defensive fronts, our offensive line can essentially create that kind of parting of the sea that we saw against the Buffalo Bills when Johnny Manziel took off right down the middle of the defense. He recognized his first and second read were not there. He also recognized the fact that the defense was significantly deep into their drops, and then it was that parting of the sea where the, you know, whether it was, you know, guard or center guard tackle pushed guys one way and guard, you know, guard tackle pushed them out and opened up. You can, in some cases, create that for Johnny, which for him also too, the knock against him being a shorter quarterback, giving him an open throwing lane, but also too an open running lane. And I think if you go back to Brian Hoyer, if they were to block that way for him, it would be simply an open throwing lane, not even a thought of an open running lane for him.
And we saw with just Andrew Luck, we saw with Johnny Manziel's touchdown against Buffalo, and we saw with Andrew Luck's touchdown against the Browns last week, that that can be a valuable weapon in the red zone, a quarterback who is able to be mobile and get himself into the end zone. Let's go to Keith in Los Angeles now. Keith, welcome to CBD.
Hey, how y'all doing? Hey, it's Steve in L.A.
Steve, I'm sorry. Steve, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I just wanted to comment on the Johnny Manziel thing. I'm just so sick and tired of everybody throwing this dude under the bus before he actually got a chance to get out there and play. And, I mean, you had a caller a couple of calls back saying how classy Brian Hoyer is and how he didn't like Johnny Manziel throwing up his little money sign. But I wonder how classy is 7 interceptions in 4 games. How classy is going from scoring 20 for 50 in a game or overthrowing receivers and whatnot. I'd rather have a quarterback throwing up money signs from Timbuktu than have that classy guy back there constantly killing us and taking away from all our good defense we've been playing.
I think I don't know if it's just a generational type of a thing with a guy like Johnny Manziel that, you know, he's going to appeal to certain people and he's not. I don't think when he does the money sign that he's saying I'm not a team guy. I think that's just kind of his thing, and he got in the end zone and he was fired up.
I think the great thing about the money sign is, you know, something good has happened if we're seeing the money sign from Johnny Manziel.
Right, you're not seeing. It's exactly right. You're very true about that. All right, when we come back, Gerard Sherry, 3-time Super Bowl champion, will be with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and give his thoughts on Johnny Manziel's ascension to the starting quarterback. Again, hasn't been confirmed by the Cleveland Browns yet, but multiple national media outlets reporting it as being a done deal that Johnny Manziel will, in fact, be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns this Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, the Dog Bowl in Berea, will be joined, as I said, by Gerard Sherry right after this. It's a party. My posse's been on.